Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome back to another episode of Steeler Stat Geek. This is Neil Curtin, editor Dave Schofield, coming at you. It's Thursday. We are now 1 week removed from what was the start of the 2024 NFL Draft. You're like, well, that seems kind of sad and kind of depressing. No, not really. That means 1 week closer to training camp. Bring it on. I'm ready for it to get here. I know some people don't want to wish away half the summer. I say, let's wish it away. Let's get out there. Let's get football going. I am ready for it, especially after the draft that the Pittsburgh Steelers had this past weekend. Liked a lot of what they did, but I said it a lot. You should have heard it a lot if you listen to our audio-only podcast, because, my goodness, I had, eight breaking news podcasts, one for each pick and then one for the five undrafted rookie free agents that the Steelers signed. Then I was on the wrap-up each of the 3 days with Jeff and Brian. And other than that, I was on the live stream for most of the time if I was not doing another podcast. I took a small break on Saturday to eat lunch, although it wasn't until like 3 p.m. Eastern by the time I was able to get around to doing it because of everything going on. And when the Steelers made their final pick of each day, I was then working and wasn't necessarily back for the rest of those rounds. But other than that, I was in the live streams. If you didn't catch the live streams, they were a lot of fun. If you missed out on them, I get it. We've got to do it again next year because all the positive feedback you got from it. I mean, there was times we had 1,200 people watching us during the draft, which I think is crazy. Personally, I mean, if you really wanted to go back and check it out, I guess you could. I don't know why anyone would go back and watch those. I mean, other than if you know exactly what you're looking for, I want to go back and catch the lead up to the round two pick because I knew I was going to be excited and nervous, and it was going to be nothing compared to Shannon. So that's why I wanted Shannon to be on the show. So that way we could both be excited about it. Was happy that the Steelers finally got what could be their answer at center. All indications look like it could be. I keep reminding people, everyone's like, why would you not start in the first week? Why do the Steelers? Okay. The Steelers play a numbers game. And since it's in StatKeek, I'll explain this numbers game a little bit early for you. Think about the college athlete What is the most college games they play in a season? The maximum games is 15. 15. You would play in 15 games. That would be if you play all 12 regular season games, if you play in your conference championship game, if you play in the national championship semifinals, and if you play in the national championship game. That would be 15. That's the max number you can get. Most of them, most college players, are 13. Okay, with some 14. If you play in both the conference championship game and a bowl game, whether it's part of the playoffs or not, then you get 14. And then only two teams are getting 15. That's the max you get. There's also no preseason. There's no preseason games. Also, some of these games, when these big-time schools, these Power 5 conference schools, if they're playing a smaller opponent or even another conference school that has a really bad down year, they get a huge lead. They've got lots of bodies with the programs. They can give guys a rest if they need to. So my point is, you get a lot of college football, but the max you're getting is 15 games. When you come to the pros, you're talking 20 because you're talking three preseason, 17 regular season, and that's even before you get to the playoffs. And with the guys that are coming out and going into the draft, coming out of college, they don't really have much of an offseason because it's all this draft prep, all this work, the combine, the pro days, all that other stuff. There's not many of them that actually get to sit back and let their bodies recoup a little bit like they would normally from season to season, either in the college or pros. So people might want to argue about the whole rookie wall thing. Go back and ask Joey Porter Jr. Go back and say, hey, how good was it to when you hit the Steelers playoff game? It wasn't your 21st start of the season or even better, or 18th if you want to just throw out the preseason games. Porter missed one. That's part of the stuff with everything anyway. It's not your 18th start. It's not playing every single snap through all those games. It was starting off on a limited basis, and they weren't worn out at the end of the season. You might not like it. Especially, I hear it now from the end of April through September about the Steelers, and playing their rookies, everything, and middle of October even. But you know what? You don't complain about it when these guys are still on the rise come January. So it's a philosophical choice that the Steelers generally make. If they come out and start Zach Frazier day one and he plays every offensive snap, there was only one player that played every offensive snap for the Pittsburgh Steelers last season. And that was Mason Cole, center Mason Cole. So you want to do that, you got to realize that there could be some attrition towards the end. That, and my biggest fear is sometimes attrition can lead to injury. I mean, you want to talk about everything with, Marquise Pouncey never got to play in a Super Bowl. He got hurt in the AFC Championship game. You think maybe some of that could have been due to attrition? It's not guaranteed that it was, but you also can't say that it wasn't either. So there's a philosophy behind that that I get. So now that I've gone off into those numbers, my goodness, I didn't want to get into those numbers. The numbers I really want to get into to talk about this year's draft class, this was actually something I was breaking down tons of numbers and wanted to give every stat that I could possibly give for each of the rookies. I'm like, you know what? Jeff gave me an idea, and I'm like, that's better. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you one key number from every Steelers draft pick from the 2024 NFL draft. All right, one key number. Now, I'm going to be mentioning some other numbers with it to help support these numbers. But one key number. And then after we do all this, I'm going to give you all, some quick, real, legitimate draft grades. I'm going to give you the real deal draft. They're still my opinion. I'm still the one grading them, but you're going to get real grades, okay? And I'll explain why they're real grades when we get there. But before that, I'm going to give you, everyone's given draft grades, so I got to do it. So I'm going to give you one number for every Steelers draft pick. All right, let's start at the top. Let's start round one. Let's start Troy Faltanu. Let's start with the guy that the Steelers would have drafted Faltanu at 10 if they were picking in the 10th spot. The fact that they're picking at 20, I don't know if it changed anything. I don't know if there's anyone else they would have taken. There might have been someone in there, but they had him ranked really high. So they got their guy, the guy they like. I know some people want to talk. I mean, I almost brought up this number. I was really close to bringing up this number, and that was 1/4. Man, 1/4 of an inch more, and people aren't complaining about him playing tackle in the NFL because he's 1/4 of an inch shorter. But my goodness, his arms are so much longer than everyone else's. It doesn't really matter. So, I mean, he's got a huge wingspan that makes up for it. So I could have gone there, but I didn't. Instead, I'm actually going to go with – I could go with the one number. I'm going to say the other one because it all leads up to this. I'm going to go with 0. I'm going to go with 0 because this is going to feed into something that might help shape what's going on. Because the other number I almost went with, which is this 0 is based off of, is 28. Because over the last 2 seasons, Troy Faletonu has 28 starts. 28 starts in 2 seasons. 13 in 2022, 15 in 2023. All starts, almost all of them in the same position. 27 of those starts are at left tackle. One was at left guard. He even had some starts in 2021. Some at left tackle, 2 at left tackle. One at left guard. Didn't have 8 starts in 2020. But all those games, all those starts, 31 starts in 40 games. The reason I'm saying 0, now I can't say that it was 0 snaps because, man, I just can't get the data for college like I do for the pros because I have these subscriptions and get these numbers to break down the pro numbers. Not so much with the college. I don't have that it's 0 snaps, but it's 0 starts on the right side for Troy Faletonu. Now, he's position flexible and everything else and all that. And even I was like, you know what? I think he might be their right tackle and put Broderick Jones at left. I felt Broderick Jones' best game of the last season was against the Ravens when he was on the left side. But he also did a nice job on the right side. There's plenty of debate. We're going to have tons of debate over this. Probably to training camp, through training camp, because I think the Steelers will probably be having them play both sides. You know, through the preseason, when this debate might, who knows, we still might be talking about this a year from now because of how it plays out in the 2024 season. But he has 0 starts on the right side. So out of 31 starts, none of them came on the right side. Now you're like, well, did Broderick Jones have any starts on the right side? He didn't have any starts on the right side either. But dude, he didn't have very many starts. He started all 15 games in 2022, and he started the last 4 games of 2021. That's all. They were all at left tackle. They were all in the same position. But when he first started playing in 2020, he didn't have starts, but his first action came at right tackle. So it's not that he didn't have anything standing out on his bio that was saying only left, but that's one thing that I've noticed, and it's not that I don't think that he can do it, because I've said it over and over again. I'll say it maybe the last time. I doubt it. If you're a good enough offensive tackle, you should be able to play either side. If you're good enough offensive guard, you should be able to play either side. To me, center's a whole different monster because it's a whole different responsibility having to snap the ball and being the center of the line. You're the one who can easily communicate out to both sides the best. Not that it's easy, but that has the greatest chance. So that's the number I thought would stand out with Troy Faletonu. So for everyone, including myself, those want to say, oh, put him on the right side. Might not be the case because he had 0 starts on the right side in college. Wouldn't be shocked myself if Dan Moore Jr. starts the season at left tackle, Broderick Jones at right tackle, and then eventually we see Troy Faletonu come in and just slide in where Moore was on the left side. Then we might get into a whole other debate next year. A lot of that's going to depend on what happens in training camp and the preseason and everything. So that's a bold – I mean, I'd say it's a prediction now. Of course, it's possible. But there's a lot of factors that could change with that one as we go. All right, let's move on with these numbers. Zach Frazier, favorite pick of the draft for me. He was a guy that I just – everything about me said he's not going to be there at 51. The Steelers need to make sure they get him. Man, they made sure they got him, and they didn't have to move off of 51. Talk about a double whammy. You know, double whammy in a good way. You know, they got that. Here's the number for Zach Frazier. Here's one number. 37. Okay. 37 starts at center since 2021. In the last 3 seasons in college, 37 starts at center. Okay, well, is that significant? All right. Well, let's look at the other centers taking the draft. Graham Barton, he was taken in the first round. In the last, and since 2021, how many starts he have at center? Zero. All right. Who was the second quote-unquote center taken, although it appears that they're going to have him at guard? That was Jackson Powers Johnson. 13 starts at center over the last three seasons. And they were all last year. Now, we had 64 snaps scattered between the two seasons before, but didn't start any games at center. I think it was 44 snaps in 2022 and 20 snaps in 2021 at center. But he didn't have any starts or anything at center. He was playing guard. So I understand why the Raiders are like, hey, we're going to have him play guard now, and then we'll see if we need to transition to center when needs be. So right there, he's got both of them combined, crushed. Let's look at the next center taken after Zach Frazier. That's, Bortolini's the last name. I think it was Tanner Bortolini. I think I'm right with Tanner. Okay. He was taken the fourth round, pick 117, 13 starts over the last 3 years at center. So if you take the other three centers drafted in the first, all the centers drafted in the first four rounds, add up all the rest of them, the starts they had at center, they still don't equal what Zach Frazier had. So that's why I was saying before, hey, if the Steelers take Graham Barton to be their center in the first round, he might not be ready to play center right away because of transitioning back to it. Maybe he could. Very intelligent guy. I think he can play anywhere. But that's not something he's experienced with in the last 3 years. But somebody like Zach Frazier, even though he would be a pick later in the draft, is someone who would be ready to be center right now. He was the most ready for the position in my eyes going into it. Really like that pick. Oh, and I will tell you this. I stopped there because once you get into the fifth round, there are three centers selected in the fifth round. The only other one that was taken in the first 150 picks was Cedric Van Pran Granger, or however you want to say it. Yeah, he had 44 starts in the last 3 years at centers. So he was another guy that I'm like, if the Steelers don't get him, that's the other guy for them if they have to take one later, because he had a lot of experience playing center. So that's the numbers there. All right, let's go ahead and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and break after the two offensive linemen. We're going to come back. We're going to do the numbers for the other five players, and then I'm going to give you some quick draft grades the way they should be done. So stick around. We'll be right back. When my phone.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
All right, Steelers fans, here we go. Let's go on to it. We're going one key number for every one of the Steelers' 2024 draft picks. We got 0 for Troy Faletanu. That's 0 starts on the right side of the offensive line. We've got 37 for Zach Frazier. That's 37 starts at center over the last 3 seasons. Blew the other top 3 centers out of the water combined with how much experience he had playing there. Gotta love it. Next. Let's go to wide receiver Roman Wilson, selected in the 3rd round. All right. I had a bunch of different numbers that could have gone here. But that number is going to be, I'm going to say it as 1. 1. Okay. In 2023, Roman Wilson had 1 drop pass, according to several different places that report these stats. I couldn't compare it to everyone else because I couldn't just find a list of drop passes from college. But this was, you know, several different places. I know PFF was one of them that reported that. That's a 2% drop rate because he had 48 receptions. So that's a pretty big number. When I say big, not large numerically, I mean big is important. That's an important number. Now, one of the things that I noticed when I was doing the breaking news podcast after he was picked, and I was doing the draft profiles, everything, reading those off. One of the things was is that he doesn't always have a clean catch right away. Sometimes can bobble the ball a bit. We'll have to see if that comes into play in the NFL. Although it says he's sure-handed, only had the 1 drop. The question is, he was able to gather himself very well? Is that as easy to do at the NFL level? I will tell you that's one thing just to keep an eye on, but still only 1 drop on the season. That's pretty good. I almost went with the number 12 because he had 12 touchdown catches this past season. I think that had him ranked. That was ranked really good. I'm thinking it was like it was in the top 10 of number of touchdown catches. I wish I still had that up. I thought I wrote that down, and I don't have it here of exactly where it was. But 12 touchdown receptions his last year there at Michigan, so that's pretty good. Now we got to go to the other Wilson. Okay, we've got Peyton Wilson, linebacker out of NC State. All right, here we go. The number for him, I'm going to say, is 138. Now, all these numbers that I'm throwing out there, it's not like they're secret or like I'm giving you some number that no one else is saying. That's not the case. This is just me saying the one that pops out to me the most. And this is 138. So what's 138 there? 138 is his number of tackles that he had last season. 138 tackles, that ranked him 5th in all of FBS. Okay, that's the top tier of the NCAA, not FCS. 5th, okay? Of those 138 tackles, 17 and a half were tackles for loss. They give half tackles or tackles for loss in college, I've noticed with stats. See, and that ranked him 7th in FBS. So top 5 in tackles, top 7 in tackles for loss, okay? But the other thing is he only had 4 missed tackles from what I can see. He had a 3% missed tackle rate. That's pretty good for having that many tackles and playing inside linebacker. So he's a guy that finishes. He's a guy that finishes, and he was really up there and everything in those numbers. All right, so let's he played, 5 seasons? And, 2021, he only played in 2 games because he got hurt. So, you know, throw that one out. His next lowest season in tackles was 2019, where he had 69, you know, his first year in college. But, I mean, 138 last year, 82 the year before. I mean, he had – it said throw out 2021 when he was hurt. His last three full – what I would call full seasons where he played at least 11 games, he had double digits tackles for losses. So that was pretty good. And also, throw this one in there, just a fun stat. The number is still 138. But outside of his 2021 season where he only played two games because he was injured, he had at least one interception every year. He had three last year. So he's doing all right in coverage as well. So there we go. That's Peyton Wilson. Let's move on because some of these other ones might be a little – honestly, they're harder to find. But moving on to the Steelers' fourth-round draft pick of Mason McCormick. I keep messing up his first name. I know he's double M, and I know he's the first name of a quarterback that the Steelers had on the roster last year. But I've actually called him Mitch a couple times. But it's Mason McCormick from, man, the Break News podcast. I said SD State, and I said San Diego. I'm like, wait, that's not right. It's South Dakota State. It's South Dakota State, which is an FCS school. And why was there? He played 6 years. 6 years because of, you know, COVID, injury, you know, those kind of things. You can get 6 years. And so he's been around a while. He has 70 games played, but his number, I know I'm doing stuff with games a lot for the linemen, but that's really one of the biggest things to measure. His number is 57. 57. And that is, he set a school record where he had 57 consecutive starts. 57 consecutive starts. So his great ability is availability. And when I said injury, because I was thinking, I don't know if it was due to injury or not, but I know he had a red shirt early season where he played a couple games with them red shirted. But, I mean, he's been available like crazy, okay? So when this streak started, it was the last three games of 2019, okay? Think back to that. When Ben Roethlisberger was injured and we had Duck Hodges along with Mason Rudolph. Duck Hodges was starting games for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's when the game streak started for Mason McCormick at San Diego. Said it again. South Dakota State. Now I'm double-guessing everything in my head. At South Dakota State. 57 consecutive games. The last three games of 2019, 10 games, which is what they were able to play in 2020. I think they were in the, really, they're 2020/2021 because they were more in the spring. Was what FCS did, if I recall correctly. I might be off there. 14 in 2021, 15 in 2022, and 15 in 2023. And all of those 57 games, they were at left guard where he started. Left guard, in case you're wondering where they were. But 57 consecutive starts, okay? To give you an idea, Najee Harris has been with the Steelers three seasons. He hasn't played 57 regular season games yet. So, but I'll talk about him. A little cool number with him maybe a little bit later here. So 57 consecutive starts. That's Mason McCormick. Let's hit Logan Lee. Okay. This is one that is intriguing to me because it really does come into what, you know, how's he going to work out with the Steelers? Because the first thing I saw with him, and his biggest down thing was, you know, concern is he a bit of a tweener? I saw the measurables, and I started to think of DeMarvin Leal and how he just wasn't quite big enough for defensive line, but he was too big for edge, all those other things. And I was like, maybe that's a little bit concerning. But my number for Logan Lee, which is interesting, you know, he's once again an older player. He was the only married player on the Iowa Hawkeyes last season. That's something I found out about him when looking this stuff up. My number for him is 35. Okay. This might be a little bit out there. Because for him, 35, that's the difference in pounds by what he is listed on Iowa's site versus the Steelers website. Iowa has had him listed at 251 pounds, which could date back. You know, sometimes they don't update those things as much. Maybe that was one of his earlier years when he was there and they just didn't change the number. Maybe that's why. But it's still there. Literally, you go check it. It says that he's 251 pounds on the Iowa Hawkeyes football site, where the Steelers have him at 286. That's a big range of where someone could play. If he's only 250 pounds, how's he going to play defensive tackle in the NFL? You know, if he's 286, then he's starting to get there. All right. So the question is, where does he really fall? And the reason that this is interesting is because of some stuff from the combine. He weighed in at the combine at 281. Now, I have to say this. He ran a 5.05 40-yard dash at the combine at 281. But he was interviewed after the combine. I think it was the Draft Network is where I saw this. I want to give him credit for that. And he wasn't too happy with some of his combine numbers. He really wanted 30 reps in the bench press. I think he ended up with 24, but two of them didn't. He did two more, but they didn't count because he locked out at some point in there. The two of them didn't count. This was all in the interview. But he said he was down 7 pounds. He had lost 7 pounds to be at the combine when he was at the combine. So that tells me that he weighed in before at 288, which is even more than what the Steelers have him. So if you're talking defensive tackle, that's now getting a little bit more promising. So that one's not so bad. But I just find it very interesting. A difference in 35 pounds if you're looking at his college website versus his pro website. All of which, you know, I mean, he played for Iowa this year. We're only talking a few months apart. So some of you out there that maybe have really dived into Logan Lee, you might know a little bit more where it is. I think he's every bit of that 286, and maybe he can even get up there. I saw somewhere that estimated him at 290. That would be that's not so bad to work with him playing what he's hoping to be playing there with the Steelers. And last but not least, the final sixth-round pick that the Steelers had was Ryan Watts, defensive back out of Texas. I listed him as a corner when I did the depth chart, but, man, I think he's more of a safety for the Steelers based on everything. We'll see how he plays out. But my number for him, 34.5. Now, if you are a draft guru, if this is Andrew Wilbaugh or maybe Jeremy Betts listening to this, I don't know why I said maybe Jeremy Betts or Jeremy Betts, no disrespect, Jeremy, listening to this and you hear that 34.5, you might already know what I'm talking about. That's his arm length. That was his arm length that he was recorded at the NFL Combine. That was the longest arm length of any defensive back at the Combine this year. I didn't look back into past years to see how it compared, but 34.5. You know, part of me is really curious about how that compares to Joey Porter Jr., which I probably should have done before this podcast started. But I didn't even think about it till right now to see what it is. And if I go to Pro Football Reference to see what his combine everything was there, with the they don't have his arm length here in Pro Football Reference where I had it pretty easy. Some of you might even know that offhand because he was someone who also had, you know, pretty long arms for the Steelers. So you're talking about some serious length, but he had the longest arm length of any defensive back at the combine this year. The next closest defensive backs there was 34 and a quarter inch. That was Jalen, is it Parleys? I don't know. Maybe he's from Missouri. I'm messing up his name. From Missouri. He was drafted in round 5. He was a safety. And then there was one other one that was over 34 inches. It was 34 and an 8 inches from Arizona State, Roe Torrance. He was undrafted, but was he's a cornerback, but he was signed as an undrafted free agent by the Seattle Seahawks. So that's just interesting. I'm really curious about Joey Porter Jr., what he came in with. I'm trying to figure it out. His arm length was 34 inches from what I'm seeing here on a quick Google search. So this means even more, pretty crazy. 34 inch arms. So 34 and a half inch arms for Ryan Watts. That's an interesting number to look at. All right. We're nearing the end. I told you I was going to give you some draft grades. I'm going to do this very quick. Small segment. Wanted to do it because it's a lot of fun. Everyone's giving you draft grades. Now, something I said about draft grades, if you listen to all our coverage over the weekend with the draft, you know something I said about draft grades. I'm like, oh, it's nice. You can grade these picks. Everything's good. What really matters is the grades in either two or three seasons from now. That's when the grades matter. So, without further ado, you ready? Here we go. The first-round draft pick of the 2022 NFL draft for the Pittsburgh Steelers was Kenny Pickett. Right now, he's got a D. That was his grade for me because you don't draft a quarterback in the first round and then have him be gone after two seasons. All right? So it's a D. Now you say, well, why was it an F? Why was it an F? Because he did have starts. He did have a winning record in there. It wasn't that he was so, so terrible that they cut him. It was that he wasn't good enough to not be upgradable if the right situation presented itself. It did. The Steelers did that with the whole idea of competition in mind, and Pickett wasn't interested in competing, and he has to move on. That's a D. That's a failure. To me, D is failing, if you're wondering, but not as bad as it could be. So that's a D. Next up, you got George Pickens. I got that an A minus, and you're probably saying, why the minus? Okay, the A minus is because he has a tendency to be a little bit out there and could be a bit of a wild card at times. Is how's he going to respond to things? A little bit of a loose cannon. That gives him the minus. Okay. DeMarvin Leal, I give him, man, that's a D plus. Third round draft pick. And after even getting some starts and everything, the first season, I think he started a few games the first season, but a healthy scratch, almost the last third of the season with the Steelers are like, is he even going to make the team this year? That's to me, that's why it's the only reason he's a D plus is because he's still on the team for now. And that's a grade that could change. All right. Because, this is only 2 years removed. Then Calvin Austin, I have that as a C. It's really difficult because, we lost an entire year in there. And it's not like he came out and did anything that blew Steelers fans out of the water last year. Yes, it's a fourth-round pick, but also it doesn't seem like with everything the Steelers are trying to do at wide receivers that he's really in their plans. So that's just a C pick for me. Connor Hayward, I got that as an A-minus as well, just because they got him in the sixth round. And he's not only does he add something, this might be a little bit ambitious. I know, maybe I gave him too high of a grade there. But he adds something on offense. He's one of your key special teams guys. And he's a sixth-round pick. To get him in the sixth round and be contributing, that's an A minus to me. Mark Robinson, I've given that one a B plus, and I don't expect him to be on the team this year. But he was a seventh round draft pick, only played the position for one season, stayed on the 53-man roster all of his first two seasons, gave snaps on special teams, just even when guys got hurt ahead of him, guys coming off the couch moved ahead of him on the depth chart because they just didn't feel confident putting him out there, which I get. But to have a seventh-round draft pick stick around for two seasons like that, that's still a B-plus pick. At least you got something out of him. Now, Chris Oladokun, I could have really roasted this one. I actually gave it a C. You're probably thinking, how you give that such a high grade? Yeah, I'll give it a C because he did what he was supposed to do. It just didn't work out right. Chris Oladokun was brought in for if the Steelers had some attrition at quarterback in training camp, and anyone missed time. Now remember, they're coming off, Ben Roethlisberger, who only practiced, he took every third day off, and they had a different rotation with him. So they wanted to make sure they had somebody there, but every quarterback was available for every snap of training camp, and therefore he just didn't get the time. They let him go early so he could catch on with another team. To me, that's a C pick. It didn't work out, but he did what you needed him to do. I wasn't going to say that it was terrible. So when I take all those grades and average them, I'm not weighting them versus top versus bottom. The Kenny Pickett grade counted just as much as the Chris Oladokun grade. It averaged out to be a B minus. 2 years into it, B minus for the 2022 draft in my eyes right now. Now, if you're wondering, on NFL.com, right after the draft, the Steelers were given an A minus for that draft. So To me, a more realistic grade of that draft right now is a B minus. And I'll be honest with you, they're barely holding on to the minus. Okay. So really what you got there is George Pickens, Connor Hayward are your biggest things. And who knows what's going to happen with Calvin Austin. We'll have to see. But I said 2 or 3 years. So guess what? We're going to hit another one. We're going to look at the 2021 draft. Very quickly, I am going to grade everybody in that draft. First round pick, Najee Harris. I know some people might knock it down because why are you taking running back the first round? You know what? He's got an A. He's got an A because, my goodness, 1,000 yards rushing each of his first three seasons. Not only that, he came into the league the first year they went to 17 games. They're currently right now, he holds the record. We're going to see. He's tied. We're going to see which one of them outlasts the other one. You never know if the Steelers start in a different formation. There are two players who started their NFL career in 2021 when they went to 17 games, that in the first 3 years of their contract, that have 51 starts. They've started every game over 3 years to get to 51 games in 3 years. It's Najee Harris and it's Creed Humphrey. They're tied in starts for the number of starts over your first three seasons. We'll see how that plays out now. That's just interesting to know. Those two guys have started every game. All right, so he's an A. Pat Freiermuth, I'm giving him a B at the pick there, and I'll be honest with you, that is less about Freiermuth and more about his usage. And I'm hoping that this grade can be better this year because maybe it's that Freiermuth isn't the guy to have more usage. I don't believe it. But it could be the thing. We simply don't know. Just, my goodness, when he came back from injury last year, I was like, oh, Muth's going to come back and do so great. I'm like, no, he's not. Why not? Well, they didn't use him before he got hurt. Why do you think they're going to use him after he comes back? I mean, when they really used him was as soon as Matt Canada was gone, because teams weren't expecting the Steelers to use the tight end, and they did. And it was fantastic. Then teams adjusted. So they went back. I mean, my goodness, they played Cincinnati that first game. He went bonkers, career high in yards, and I'm pretty sure catches as well. But then the next time they played Cincinnati, they had adjusted. They didn't even, you know, he didn't have catch. I don't even know how much he was targeted because they tried to take him away. So the Steelers went somewhere else. So that was just a lot of weird stuff going on there. All right, we got to get through this so we can be done here. All right, Kendrick Green, that's a D. He never really was the guy at center. I mean, he started his first 15 games of his career, got hurt. Didn't come back. Even when he was healthy again, they didn't start him in the playoffs because he might not have been 100%. You can say that. Didn't dress for a single game his second season, and then they traded him. The only reason he's got a D is that he did give him 15 games in there, even if it wasn't all that great. You might not like this next one. Dan Moore Jr., that's an A. I'm sorry. You might say, oh, he's not that great of a tackle. Oh, he's going to get replaced. Yeah, you're right, and you're right. But you have a fourth round offensive tackle that could hold down the position enough before the Steelers really ramped up their offensive line. I mean, my goodness, I think he only missed maybe two starts in 3 years is the way it looks at. My goodness, to get that from a fourth round draft pick, that's really good value. If he doesn't play another snap for the Steelers, he still was really good value with what they had in a fourth round pick from there. So that's why he's an A for me. Then you got Buddy Johnson. Yeah, he didn't really stick around very long. He only played 6 games where he even appeared. He was a D for me. I mean, especially as a fourth-round pick. Isaiah Loudermilk after that one, that's a C only because he still has a chance. But I should have even made that even lower probably because, I mean, the Steelers traded into that pick. Didn't trade up, traded in. Used a pick from the next year to draft him, and he stuck around, but – He's still a guy that I'm listing every week when I'm trying to project the inactive list, unless there's other injuries, that he could be the choice to be inactive. We'll see what happens with this season. Quincy Roche, that was another D for me. I don't like how the Steelers – the biggest thing that happened there was when the Steelers tried to – you know, he didn't make the roster. I thought he had a chance to make the roster. So he ended up trying to get on the practice squad. New York ends up with him. He plays their season, then he's on their practice squad. He comes back to the Steelers, doesn't make the team again. So having two different stints and not working out either time, I mean, it was a 6-round pick. Maybe I was harsh. Maybe I was a little bit too harsh on Roche and not harsh enough on Loudermilk. So they kind of even out. Then you got Trey Norwood. Believe it or not, I'm going to go B minus there. Yeah, he only played 2 seasons before he was cut and is now out of the NFL. But my goodness, he gave the Steelers some playing time during those 2 years when they needed it. So as a 7th-round draft pick, there you go. And then Preston Harvin III, some people might give him a more harsh grade. I'm giving him a C minus. Generally, you don't even draft punters. If you're going to take the chance to draft the punter, you would like to have him last more than 3 years and actually have him do a better job where you'd want to have him stick around. So that's a C minus pick. I mean, at least you got 3 years of punting out of it, but now hopefully it's going to be better than that. When you take all those grades, average them all together from the 2022 draft, that's a C plus. That's a C plus. And what did they get from the NFL in 2021 as their grade? It was an A. So to me, it's easy to get excited about these grades when they first happen. But looking at them the next, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, really paints a good picture. I did that now to make a point. And the point was, I can't say, well, we need to wait 2 or 3 years before you really judge this draft class. Then why don't we go back and grade it? So that's why I went back and graded both of those. You might not agree with my grades. It's all right. I just kind of went with what I was thinking. So, hey, I'm ready for more stats questions for anyone that can fire them at me. That's STLR Superfan Dad on X. If you add an @gmail.com, that's my email. Reach out to me. I'm going to need to fill a lot of stuff between now and preseason games. So I want to know what you all want to know, where I can get some good information for you. Make sure you're checking out all our podcasts, the Steelers Previews back with myself, Jeff Hartman, Brian Anthony Davis tonight, Thursday night. And we're into May. We're into May, which means we've got OTAs. We've got the schedule coming out very soon. That's going to be a lot of fun within the next couple of weeks, figuring all that out. So make sure you shoot me those questions if you had them. And make sure you check it out, SteelCurtainNetwork.com. And as I always say, to close these out.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thank you, Nico.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.